are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts. Listen to the word of God given to us in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Amen. Now, Acts 2:42, right there, the first verse in this passage, is in my top five favorite Bible verses, absolute top five. It comes right after the story of Pentecost, where we see the church being born. And in this verse, we have a really succinct summary of what that church looked like after its birthday. Here's what the earliest version of the church looked like. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. These four things, the four hallmarks of what the church looked like. Now, what did it look like back then? I don't know. I know scripture was read. I know communion was celebrated. I know they prayed for each other and cared for each other. I know they spent time worshiping and loving God together. And these things, these essentials, have persisted through the ages. Take, for instance, the apostles' teachings. When we'd go and cook food for hungry people, when we would help to build houses for Habitat for Humanity, what is that if not devoting ourselves to the teachings that we received from Christ through the words of the apostles? And when we'd gather in the sanctuary in this beloved space, we would hear the word proclaimed, and then having been transformed and nourished by God's word, we would then leave the church and bear that teaching to the world. Fellowship? I mean, that's the core of how we built up the community, how we build this community. Small groups meeting in people's homes, potlucks in Bradfield Hall, our fellowship hall, coffee and donuts on Sunday morning. You know, come to think of it, the Venn diagram of fellowship and breaking of bread is pretty significant. There's a lot of overlap there. But when you add the sacrament of communion to the breaking of bread, it becomes something new and amazing. And at the center of our worship is praying. The unison prayer of confession, when we sing our prayers in the hymns, when we say the Lord's Prayer together, these are all ways in which we devote ourselves to our prayers. But then, a little over a year ago, everything came crashing down with the onset of the pandemic. The church building closed down completely, and we were kept from engaging in these traditions that have so deeply fed us in the past. We were left wondering, what does this mean for the church? How are we supposed to live as a body when we can't be together as a body? But this Easter season, we're exploring what resurrection means. Christ's resurrection, it was a public act. It happened in front of his disciples, in front of the people. It was a public act that involved fostering that community of believers who then carried the resurrection throughout time. Resurrection means community. And it means resilience. It means finding new life in old things. It means birthing new things from what has died. And when it seemed like the activities, the functions, the essentials of this church died, we rose with new expressions of these ancient traditions. But don't take my word for it. Listen to how we've devoted ourselves over the past year, just a couple of the ways in which we've devoted ourselves to the apostles' teachings.
In an unscheduled and isolated year, Facebook watch parties for the church service have given me one scheduled event every week, and with it, community and communication with the people involved. In the comfort of my home and safety of my own space, coffee in hand, I have been able to read along as people said their hellos or sent greetings and peace in real time, even if it hasn't been in the real physical presence. It has also been neat being able to communicate with the pastors as they have stood before us, preaching, and able to be with us in the congregational pews of the internet. It has been a place of gathering together, apart, with family and friends.
Hey, my name is Jack Barton, and I have followed the Apostles' teaching by going to the River Food Pantry. Over the course of the pandemic, I've gone there about 5-6 times with our youth group. And each time I've gone there, I've had a great time. At the River, we do distribution for food and like a hot meal, and as well as some like daycare products, whether it's like diapers, shampoo, that sort of stuff. So at the River, I know some of the people that come through the lines, I get to talk to them while I'm either filling their car with groceries. So that's always nice. It's a great in-person interaction. You get to feel like you're helping people directly. You can actually see the clients, and I think that's really cool because there I feel like I am actually really helping the community in that sort of sense. So
the apostles' teachings still function as a core of who we are. And we do it in new ways. Listen to how we've been able to devote ourselves to fellowship through the past year.
Fellowship during the pandemic has meant a couple of different things to me through the church. One of the ways that I've been able to connect with folks is through small groups in 242. Which has allowed families to get together and break bread virtually and spend time learning about God's work in our lives and also in the church. I've also been fortunate enough to work with a great group on the Board of Deacons to be able to try and bring fellowship opportunities to the church through this time and just to connect as church members and as church leaders. We've been fortunate to be able to do a couple of drive-through donut events, which has been really wonderful and has helped us to share that food and that fellowship with the larger community.
About 15 years ago, a group of knitters and crocheters formed a group to knit for charity. Fast forward and the group became Fiber Friends. We were meeting at church twice a month before the pandemic began. We made hats for the State Street homeless, knit items for the Guatemalan silent auction, and made hats and mittens for the Covenant Christmas trees. When the pandemic hit last year, emails went out, and through the miracle of technology, we were able to get together, same time, same day, wherever we were. We continued our charity knitting and made donations to the silent auction. We continued to help each other and shared patterns and fiber tips. But then we began to see the silver lining to the digital format. The big snowstorm wasn't an issue. We could still meet. Having grandchildren for the day, they could come too. Going away for the winter, if you were that lucky, you could still come. The fellowship of the group has always been special, and seeing everyone at church was great. But those fellow knitters on the screen have been wonderful during a time that didn't seem so wonderful. The story isn't over, but hopefully we take some of the good learned with our Zoom meetings into the future.
You see, that fellowship continues. It continues, even in the hard times. Listen to one of the ways in which we have continued to devote ourselves to the breaking of bread.
Like many of you, I broke bread this year very differently than in the past. I've always taken communion with others, even if it was just a few other people. We break bread together. Since I live alone, it seemed very strange to no longer be sharing with my fellow worshipers or anyone. So I have learned to take my bread and wine in the spirit and with my imagination. I try to visualize those with whom I have shared the bread of life, and the cup of salvation in the pews of Covenant Church. Initially, I would bring a small piece of bread or cracker and a little cup of juice to the table next to where I sit as I attend the Facebook Watch video version of the recorded service. Later, when the opportunity was offered to have a fresh baked roll and a small container of juice provided by the church, I accepted. I have truly appreciated the gift of love from Mandy's hands and the many people who make the deliveries. With the added blessing of delivered elements and my imagination, I do not feel alone during communion as I remember the precious gift that God gave us through Christ.
That's right. Our imagination, our holy imagination, and the work of the Holy Spirit brings us together as we break that common loaf and share that cup together. And of course, we've continued to pray. We've continued to pray in new and interesting ways. Listen now to how we have prayed through the pandemic.
Prayer is an important aspect of our Christian lives. We're reminded to pray often and in many ways. One of the ways that I like to pray is to send care cards to those on the prayer list at church. When I write a prayer card, I pray that my words will provide strength and comfort. I want others to know that their covenant family is praying for them and that the Holy Spirit will be with them always. I think these care cards are especially important during the pandemic. We're feeling isolated, anxious, frustrated that we can't be together. So these cards help to connect us with each other. They help to create a sense of unity and community. I pray that these care cards are a blessing to others.
Midday Facebook prayers have been important to me because I need to pray all the time. Prayer helps me be me. It helps make sure that my actions are aligned with the love and justice we have in our hearts. There's a strength in prayer. In reflecting on these virtual prayers, I find that the noonday prayer have been important for three reasons. First, it provides peace and hope and motivation to spread the joy and take forward what we have learned and what we know in everything we did during the day, even the afternoon after the noonday Facebook prayers. Second, with great pastors leading the prayers help open my eyes to new connections I don't always see, connections to God, new ways to look at problems and world events. As with most things, it helps to get a second opinion. And sometimes you hit the wall, you need that second opinion, and you don't see any solutions. Here's a chance to maybe see things differently, add a little bit more to your day. Third, we pray and often wonder, does God hear me? I find that setting this time and space aside for prayers helps me feel more connected. It's another chance to participate in this virtual world and with our church. Prayer helps me remember we are here to support each other and share this love and joy and peace. Finally, on a lighter note, you guys may remember the cassette days, those music listening days lodged between the eight tracks and the diskettes. Prior to music being piped in everywhere. And do you recall the commercial, is it live or is it Memorex? A cassette so good, it was just like being at a concert. Well, Facebook noonday prayers are the same way, just like being there.
And so we've devoted ourselves to the act of prayer. I've loved doing those noon prayers live on Facebook. Even when they don't go quite as planned, it's still been kind of fun.
We pray for the past year for all those who have lost loved ones to... I'm sorry about that. My computer just fell off my lap. I let that be the end of the prayer. Amen.
So regardless of the times when we publicly fail, we're still praying together. Now, I'm not advocating that we hold on to tradition solely for tradition's sake. We should never do things just because that's the way it's always done. But for thousands of years, these four things, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers, and the apostles' teachings, they have guided and shaped us. They have guided and shaped and sustained God's church and sustained our ministry for the world. These ancient traditions are not just because we've done them always. We do them always because they are wonderful. And so how marvelous is it that the Holy Spirit can move through us? This is exciting, people. Resurrection, bringing new life to old traditions, providing new avenues to express who we are, even when we're still figuring that out ourselves. The Holy Spirit surprises us by opening our eyes to doing these old things in new ways, bringing life and resurrection even and especially in times of death. And who knows what the future looks like? I have no idea. What will church be in the years to follow this pandemic? What wonderful new expressions and new traditions will come and hold our imagination and continue to take root in our faith lives? What old traditions will die as we make way for the new life and new thing that God is creating? So my prayer for the day is that, like the church on the day of Pentecost, that we continue to be amazed by what the Holy Spirit does for us, to us, and with us. In the new life of resurrection, we all together say, Amen.